I'd like to finish a thought that I've had for some days in Matthew 27. If you're able, we'll stand on to the reading of the Word of God found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 27. Start reading verse number 45. Boy, I believe camp meeting took it all out of y'all. The Lord's good to us. Matthew 27, 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calls for Elias. Straightway one ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. And Jesus, when he cried with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. You may be seated this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness of the day, and so, Lord, you've told us upon the Lord's Day we are to assemble, and we've done that. And God, may we lift our hearts towards your Word this morning. Pray you'd help me to be a blessing to the people. And I pray if it'd be one here lost, that God, you'd draw them by your mighty hand of grace. We want to pray for all our brothers and sisters, God, that have went through these floods and hurricanes. I pray you'd help them. Lord, we pray for America. God, I pray that you would still show mercy on our nation. Lord, we pray for Israel today. All of our preacher friends and missionaries across this land, I pray you'd help them and bless them. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. Been dealing with the thought at Calvary. Thank God for Calvary. We dealt the first Sunday on the death at Calvary. For God so loved the world that He gave. I'm glad He sent His Son to an old Roman cross. There He died for the sins of the whole wide world. So we spoke of at the cross, at the death at the cross. Then we dealt with the darkness of the cross. At noonday, heaven, a veil of darkness fell around this earth. Not only was there darkness, but then there was a discovery. The veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. I'm glad He made a way for you and I. No longer does anybody have to go to a priest, but now we go to our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've dealt with the death, the darkness, and the discovery, but this morning I want to focus just a few minutes on the disturbance. Disturbance. There were four main miracles happened at Calvary. There when the Lord died, darkness hit the earth. It was a great earthquake that came, and the veil of the temple was rent. But I want to say three things when these graves were open. You ever notice that in your Bible? It's a very interesting passage. It's a passage that many commentators have wrote a lot about, don't know a lot about. But I'm going to sort of do like the old preacher told me years ago. He said, Ken, don't preach on nothing you don't know about. Just preach what you do know about real loud. Somebody say amen. And so here we see the graves were open. I want to say the grace was offered in verse 51. Grace was offered. Well, what about it, preacher? Verse 51, And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. The grace was offered. You'll notice, first of all, there was an announcement. That veil was rent. I'm thankful that we're in this dispensation of grace where God parted that great veil of the temple, some 60 feet wide, some 30 feet across. Many commentators said that this veil or this great curtain was wide as a man's hand. And there it was rent from the top to the bottom. Can I tell you, man could not tear it up, but God tore it up so you and I could get into the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer do we have to come to a priest to make a petition for our sins, but we come to the Lord Jesus Christ who made one sacrifice for all the sins of the world. So there was an announcement. The veil was rent. I want you to mark this in your Bible, Hebrews chapter number 9, about this grace that was offered. Here it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews 9 and verse number 11. But Christ being come a high priest, good things to come by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. He entered in once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You know, a lot of people, they say in this new age, we need to take out the blood. If you preach about the blood, then you can't grow a church. Nobody wants to hear about that bloody religion. But friend, my Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Young people, when we're dead and gone, don't let any liberal preacher ever get in this pulpit in this church and say that it's not the power of the blood, because it is the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad He shed His blood for you and for me. Grace was offered. We see this announcement. The veil was rent. But look, if you would, in verse number 23 of Hebrews chapter number 9. The Bible says, "And it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered in the holy place made with hands, where there are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Aren't you glad we got somebody we can go to this morning? "And for yet that He should offer Himself often, as the high priest entered in the holy place every year with blood of others. For them must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for Him shall be appear the second time without sin unto salvation." The grace that was offered, we see the announcement, the veil was rent. I'm glad God made a way by His Son that we could get to heaven. For Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. So there's the announcement. But then in verse 54, back in that text in Matthew 27, there's an amazement. The Bible said in verse 54, "When the centurion, they that were with him watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God." We see this announcement, but now this amazement. The Bible said that the rocks were rent and the graves were open. There, the centurion that had cast things in the Lord's teeth, now he said, "Surely this is the Son of God." Aren't you glad that Jesus died for you and Jesus died for me? There was an announcement. There was an amazement. But in verse 51, there was an adjustment. He said, "And the earth did quake and the rocks rent." There Jesus hit the place in such a way. You know, at the giving of the law, Brother Jamie, in the book of Exodus, when Moses went up on Mount Sinai, the Bible said that the earth and the mountain did shake. That was bringing in the law of Moses. But here at Calvary, aren't you glad that there was a great shaking went on and the day of grace was ushered in? I'm glad I'm in the dispensation of grace. The Bible said we're saved by grace through faith. We can't work our way in, can't give our way in, but I sure am glad we can be born in the family of God by the good grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the grace that was offered, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. I'm glad we can get in. And by the way, the Bible says, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace." How sad it would be if we couldn't get through to God this morning. I don't know about you, but my family stands in need of prayer. Our nation stands in need of prayer. Our nation is in a place that it's never been. But let me tell you, God is still on the throne. And if God's people will still get in and go in by grace and call upon God that cares, can reach His long arm of mercy down toward our nation, my house and your house. Young people, you ought to thank God the veil of the temple was rent in twain. If your little baby gets sick, ain't you glad you can go to God and pray? If you're having a problem in your marriage, aren't you glad you can call on a God to pray? If you're behind on your bills, ain't you glad there's a God that owns the cattle of 1,000 hills? And I like what the old black preacher said, He even owns all the taters under the hills. Somebody say amen. I'm glad God is still on His throne and God's people can get in and get help in this day, in this hour. Grace was offered. Secondly, the graves were open. This had to be an amazing thing. I want to say in verse number 52, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. That one little verse tells me a lot this morning. The graves were open. First of all, the graves remind us all die. We're all headed to death. You'll notice in Romans 5 and 12, a lot of people, many times, they're confused about sin and death. And so why do we all die? Because of sin. This grave reminds us, Romans 5, verse number 12, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world. Well, that's Adam. And death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know, it would be great if we lived in a young body for a long time. But you know something, the older that we get, the more that we realize we do have an appointment with death. And because of what Adam did in the garden, that sin was passed to all mankind. The Bible simply tells us by one man sin entered in the world. But aren't you glad in verse 15, when one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ. Young people, you know, we live in a day and an hour where young people are taught many things. But let's look in the Bible. There's one way to heaven. That's by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Muslims say they have the way. They call upon Allah, but friend, they don't know the God of this Bible like we do. For you cannot know the God of this Bible till you come to Him by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so certainly the graves were open. The grave reminds us that we all die. Young people, you're going to die. I'm going to die. You know, I hear a lot of people say, man, I want to go to heaven right now. I get to thinking about it sometimes, but then I get to thinking about my loved ones and my family. I enjoy living. Does anybody enjoy living? But I want to tell you today, I am ready to die by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to go this load, Brother Tim, but if I go, hey, don't say no sad words over me. Shout the victory. Somebody get the donuts and make the coffee. Amen. Preacher made it to the other side. And so certainly the graves were open. The grave reminds us. But then secondly, grace redeems us. Look, the bodies of the saints. Lost people didn't get out of them graves. But the saints of God got out of those graves. Wouldn't that be something? Now, the Bible said when Jesus was resurrected, they didn't come out of their graves till He did. Can I tell you, He's the first fruits. But when Jesus got up, those graves that had been opened, that great earthquake, those saints which slept, they arose. They walked into Jerusalem and showed themselves alive to many people. A lot of people wonder, well, who were these people? I can tell you this, they were saints of God. They had trusted the finished work of Calvary. They were looking by faith, the way everybody's ever been saved. When Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, you had to look and live. Can I tell you, we must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the authors last night said one of these could have been Nicodemus. Remember, the most religious man in the Bible came to Jesus by night and said, Rabboni, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things lest God be with him. And Jesus responded to this to the most religious man in the Bible, ye must be born again. Can I tell you, the Bible tells us on down the line that old Nicodemus got saved. He took Jesus at his word. And now if Nicodemus was dead, wouldn't it be something if Nicodemus got up after Jesus rose and walked into Jerusalem? Could you imagine? And listen, these people, they could be identified. People knew them. Wouldn't that be something if y'all buried me and all of a sudden, after a great earthquake, Jesus got out of the ground. I come walking back in town saying, "Hey, how are y'all doing?" Can I tell you, that gets your attention. Hey, somebody better get your attention. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shine. And Jesus brings life in this day, in this hour. Boy, could you imagine how many? We don't know. The Bible says many. But we know this. They were saved by the blood of the Lamb. They were saints. Walked out of that graveyard, walked into Jerusalem. You know what they were doing? They were testifying that Jesus died and He got up out of the grave. That ought to be our testimony everywhere we go. Whether we hunt, fish, shop, or golf, don't matter. We ought to turn the light on, let folks know Jesus has made a difference in our life. Ain't you glad Jesus has been good to us and breathed the breath of life in us, and now the grave will not hold us? Boy, wouldn't that be amazing? Them undertakers, I bet a lot of folks run, got their money back. Somebody say amen. My goodness, they got out of the graves. I believe my Bible. You know, it was great miracles there at Calvary. Not only the death and the darkness and the discovery, but now this disturbance. The graves were open. The grave reminds us, young people, we're all going to die. And listen to your country preacher today. Be ready when the Lord calls you. We're all in line. And you know, I say this, if the Lord willing, we don't know what tomorrow holds. You know yourself, we've seen so many people leave this walk of life so early. Young people, I'd love to tell you that you would live to be my age, but you might not make it to my age. One thing for sure, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And so this grave reminds us the grace redeemed us, the bodies of the saints. But I want to say thirdly and real importantly, God remembers us which slept arose. Sleep in Jesus. What's that mean, preacher? It means we're at rest. Doesn't mean soul sleep, for the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You remember that when you die and you're saved, you always remember this, God remembers you. I'm glad He's not lost one of His children, and He knows where we all are this morning. The grave reminds us, grace redeems us, but God remembers us. Those which slept arose. Well, preacher, those asleep in Jesus, what's that really means? It means we're at rest. Total rest, but we're very much aware. We're in heaven city, for to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then thirdly and lastly, it's where I want to show you something. Grace was offered. The graves were open. But there's a gathering that was observed. A gathering that was observed. I want to say, first of all, that it speaks of identification. We'll know each other in heaven. We'll have a body like the Lord's, very similar to Him, but we'll keep our identity. You remember on Mount Transfiguration when the Lord was there with Peter, James, and John, and there appeared unto Him Moses and Elijah. There they spoke of Calvary. They knew who they were. Can I tell you, when we all get to heaven, we'll have a glorified body, but we'll know one another. Just like these saints got up out of the grave, people identified who they were. Yes, we'll have a glorified body, but we'll know each other, I believe, when we get to heaven. We'll never mistake where Jesus is, though. He'll be the one that bears the wounds from Calvary. There's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You see, this gathering was observed. It speaks of identification. Then look in 1 John 3 and 2 this morning. 1 John 3, verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that's something. We're going to receive a body similar to the Lord Jesus. You remember in the upper room, he could pass through the locked doors. You remember old doubting Thomas was not there, but yet when Jesus came back by, he cried out and said, "Oh Lord and my God." He knew who Jesus was. Won't it be a blessing to get a glorified body to be like Christ? And so the gathering that was observed speaks of identification. Then it speaks of communication. They went in the holy city and appeared to many. What a testimony. I wonder, are you testifying that God has brought you life? That God has brought you out of the grave and given you eternal life? The gathering was observed. There's identification, communication, but lastly, there's gratification. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 12. Look what we're going to receive one day. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 12. I want to say, when you bury a loved one and they're saved, it's not goodbye. It's I'll see you soon. And with all the signs of the times and the things that are happening throughout our land that matches this Bible, it won't be long till the Lord returns. You know, as this young man's got his granddaddy here today, I can't call his name, but I met him over in Heflin, and so he's a preacher in that area. He's a little bit older than I am, but I can guarantee you that generation of preacher to mine, we came up every Sunday, you know what we'd hear? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And you know what? Jesus is still coming. And so it's got to be nearer today than it's ever been. Watch this, the gratification. 1 Corinthians 15 and 12, talking about the resurrection. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. We're found false witnesses of God because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. They that are which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. You know, verse 20, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came also death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We're going to get a new body. Now turn and watch this last text, 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter number 13. I want to try to clarify something here out of the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. The gathering that was observed. There's identification. They knew them. There was communication. But lastly, there's gratification. I'm glad the grave is not going to hold me down. I sure am glad that when we walk in this world, we go to a grave, that we stay there forever. No, God's got a lot better plan for his children. Now watch your Bible. Young people, listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. There's no excuse for anybody to be ignorant of what I'm fixing to discuss. Concerning them which are asleep, for they're dead in Christ, they are resting. That's not soul sleep. They're very much aware of where they are, who he is. But that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You know what's so sad, church? Many times I've been called to come to a family, wasn't associated with a church or a pastor, and you just had nothing to say. You knew nothing to say. And they sorrowed so much. But we that are the church, the born again, the blood-washed children of God, we have hope. You sorrow not even as others which have no hope. No, I don't like burying my loved ones. Let me tell you, when I do bury my loved ones, there's hope way beyond here. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. I want to clarify verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, that means spiritually alive, born again, look, and remain physically alive. So we've been made alive by the Spirit. We're still living. The Bible says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or precede them which are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're getting up out of the graveyards. Then we which are alive spiritually and remain physically shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I want to thank God for the power of the gospel, the power of the resurrection. Those that are saved in this graveyard behind the church, when the Lord sounds that trumpet, these graves are going to burst open all around this nation. God's going to call them out, even from the deep oceans, all the way to the seas, to the mountains. When the Lord blows that trumpet and His church goes up, we're going to be called up together. We're going to get a glorified body. We'll never hurt anymore. And I'm thankful for the promise and the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Preacher, why would Paul in Romans write about the resurrection and the Corinthians? There were some didn't believe in the resurrection. But can I tell you, I believe in it this morning. Miss Emily, I want you to come and sing us a song. You may be here today. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Well, can I tell you, when He died at Calvary's cross, He got a lot of people's attention that evening. Could be that He's wanting to get your attention. Young person, Jesus loves you, and He died for you. And I want to ask you right now, just as a country preacher, if you died right now, where would you be? Death is certain. Heaven is true. This book is forever settled in heaven. We that are saved, when they let us down in the ground, there's coming a getting up morning. Brother Lee, I believe your mom and daddy will be in that crowd. Some of the finest Christians I've ever met. I used to go to their home on Sunday evenings and go in, and Lord, his mama could pray heaven down. What a blessing to go in their house. You know, Brother Lee, they just in line, just waiting to see us. Church, it won't be long. So I asked you, Miss Emily's going to sing. This altar's open. If you need anything, you come this morning. But this is the main thing today. If you're here, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to come and we'll pray with you this morning. Simply, faith as a little child, put your trust in Jesus. For we must receive Him. Do you want to be saved? Won't you come this morning while we sing? Would you come? He loves you today. Would you come?
Once on a hillside.
Would you come? Glad I'm getting up one morning.
Hoping to see Him.
Have you been
as
saved?
Thousands were fed.
What a shaking.
He touched the blind eyes. Healed broken spirits.
loves you. Sir, he died for you.